All right, welcome everyone to another Tuesday afternoon here in America, Tuesday evening in the EU and elsewhere in the world, whatever time it might be. I'm Stephen Roberts. This is Cancel the Cabal on People's Internet Radio, and I'm also on PSN Radio and Shake and Wake Radio, thanks to Annie. Had an interesting thing there happen literally 90 seconds ago. Called the guest, and he said that he has to cancel. So, with virtually 45 seconds left in my intro to go, I'm gonna have to run some documentaries or something. Don't have anyone I can call at this late of the time to say anything. You know, I will probably come on occasionally and say some things about what I think. Actually, I'll just do that right here in a few minutes after I play this song and get something ready. Be right back in just a few minutes here, about seven maybe. Okay, welcome back here. I wanted to play one song, and I got something I was interested in about this latest, the Iranian leader. Let's see what his name is. Oh, yes, Major General. I'm probably going to butcher this name because I haven't heard anyone say it, but it's Major General Qassem Soleimani. Hope I didn't butcher his name too badly or whatever, but I have an online publication, it seems. It's called Vox.com, V-O-X.com. And a man named Zach Beauchamp yesterday wrote an article, January 6th, that is titled "Trump's Threat to Commit War Crimes by Bombing Iran's Cultural Sites Explained." So I guess maybe he's the expert on everything. He's going to explain it, but I'm going to go along with his little article, and I'm going to give some thoughts. I'm going to read some things and then take a pause and make some comments, and we'll see where this goes. Trump's threat to commit war crimes by bombing Iran's cultural sites explained. His naked, illegal threat serves to expose the brutal essence of Trump's Iran war. President Donald Trump has spent the last 2 days threatening to commit war crimes in Iran. The threat started on Saturday evening when he tweeted a vow to respond to Iranians' retaliation for Qassem Soleimani's killing. Qassem Soleimani's killing, with an attack on 52 Iranian sites, including locations important to Iran and the Iranian culture. Well, I would have to say that, I'll finish out the sentence, I did finish out the sentence, so I'll make a comment. I think the 52 sites, important to Iran and the Iranian culture, they probably also have some ulterior meanings to these sites. Whether they are secretive or out in the open, I'm sure that he or whomever, the military-industrial complex, has bombed these sites strategically for maximum angering effect by the Iranians and by the Middle East. This all goes to the planned Third World War that has been planned for well over 150 years by the system, by the elite bankers that are going to fund both sides and profit both sides, because, well, Iran is still one of the countries that does not have a Rothschild central bank. They're not controlled by the banking elite yet. So, therefore, America and more than likely Great Britain and quite a few other nations are going to have to go into Iran and bomb them into the bomb them until they are granted access to the Rothschild banking system. I believe it's just that simple. To continue on with this article, it's not clear exactly what these cultural sites are. Well, as I just mentioned, it could be anything from the ancient Persian ruins to Persepolis, whatever that is, to a random theater in Tehran. But no matter what the president wants to target specifically, he's threatened to hit some kind of location frequented by civilians with no military value, practically the textbook definition of a war crime. I wonder what this, if this Zach Beauchamp was a journalist back just 3 short years ago. I wonder if he had anything to say about Barack Obama's illegal wars or Barack Obama's illegal drone strikes and illegal bombings, illegal killings of women and children and civilians, so to speak. I just wonder what he had to say about them, if anything. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tried to walk these comments back during the Sunday morning. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense what he just wrote there, but I'm going to try to read it again. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tried to walk these comments back during a Sunday morning TV appearance. Maybe walk back these comments or try to minimalize. I think that would have been a better word if he would have said that. Saying any American military action would be consistent with his rule of law. Rule of law. So is that trying to indicate that it's a legal action there? A lawful action? I don't know. Hard to tell what the young man is trying to infer there. But that evening, President Trump directly contradicted him, telling the New York Times' Maggie Haberman that he sees attacks on Iran's cultural sites as legitimate retaliation for Iran's support of anti-American terrorism. Interesting justifications there. Very, very interesting justifications. Is he talking about attacks from 40 years ago or recent attacks? But also, they don't seem to be making light of the facts that American interests and Western interests are backing terrorism, and they have been for 40 plus years. Well, they've actually been backing terrorism since the Muslim Brotherhood back in 1948. So it goes back a long, long ways. They also seem to lose the historical facts that the Catholic Church and the Pope way back when started, and more than likely also funded and helped the Muslims out when they first became a religion. All of these sects. I'm probably positive. Yes. Exactly. I'm looking at the Shake and Wake chat. I should be looking at both chats, but it's a little difficult to read the article and make comments. Chump wants to kill us all with another war. Insane. Yes. For what? Oil. Probably. Yes. Oil. More than likely. Oil. More than likely gold. More than likely a lot of resources. Yes. There is probably a lot of gold in that area from the Persian empires, whether they mined that gold themselves or took it by theft from a war or whatever the case is. There were plenty of reports back in 2003 when Saddam Hussein got captured. He had tons and tons of gold. I don't exactly remember what the amount of gold was, but it was quite a few billions in gold back then, 15, 17 years ago. I'm sure that is on the that's on the dinner plate as far as the military-industrial complex goes. The elite bankers do like their gold, and they really don't care how they get it. Most of the time, they do get it by theft or some other nefarious means. I know that the royals, the queen, and Prince Philip, they have quite a few tons of gold themselves. I would venture to say that they got a lot of that gold also by nefarious means. But Iran is one of the oldest cultures in history, as far as history goes back. I'm sure that there's a lot of cultural antiquities that have been looted, robbed, stolen, or just destroyed by these bombings. There are quite a few resources, as the one listener over in Shake and Wake happened to mention. A lot of the times those resources are oil and gold. A lot of the times they can be just palladium or nickel or most anything. I'm trying to think of the thing that they make the batteries out of the most. I know that is a big, big commodity. The lithium, that is another very precious resource that they that they target areas to go after and just murder the people that have ownership of it in their lands and take control of the lithium, the gold. I do know back 2003 when the coalition forces first invaded Afghanistan, the first thing they did was take control of the poppy fields in Afghanistan. This is right on YouTube, Fox News. Geraldo Rivera went over to Afghanistan and he interviewed American troops and asked them what was the deal with all of the opium, or the opium, and it's right on YouTube. It's on film. They say, well, yeah, we do have control of the opium fields, and we took control of them just so the Taliban couldn't get them back. And they are still guarding and controlling the opium in Afghanistan 16 years later, still have control of it. Makes one wonder. I've actually told people that, showed them the video, and they got the glassy-eyed look. It didn't really register with them, you know. It went against their paradigm. It didn't fit in their little box. But someday, maybe people will understand what the truth is. I hope it's within my lifetime. I do hope that. I don't know how much longer I have, but anyways, I do want to continue on with this article here before I get too off track and ramble on too much. They're allowed to use roadside bombs and blow up our people, and we're not allowed to touch their cultural site, Trump asked rhetorically. It doesn't work that way. Well, as again, Mr. Trump, whatever I feel like calling him at the time. The West is in, the Rothschild banking system is in, and has had control of the U.S. military and the military-industrial complex for a long, long time. They have agitated and angered people in the Middle East for a long, long time now, at least going back 70-plus years. The CIA, British MI5, MI6, and the Mossad, they all create strife in an area so the military and the military contractors can benefit. American foreign policy observers reacted in horror. American military forces adhered to international law. Whose international law is that? They don't attack cultural sites, tweeted Brett McGurk, former U.S. Special Envoy for the Fighting ISIS, who served under both Obama and Trump. Reckless and unprecedented words from a commander-in-chief. Well, they all have reckless words. Each and every one of the puppets. And all of the puppets in government have reckless and unprecedented words. Some kind of Iranian legislation for the Soleimani assassination is all but inevitable, which means Trump will likely have to have an opportunity to order the U.S. military to act on his violent vision. Whether or not it will happen is a separate question. Officers are legally obligated not to act on lawful orders. There are reportedly strong resistance in the Pentagon's targeting Iranian cultural sites. That's quite odd, because basically the Pentagon runs the White House. So that's a little bit of a contradiction there. The Pentagon also runs the defense contractors and the military-industrial complex. So I don't know if there's any kind of infighting going on in there or not. Who knows? Indeed, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper publicly contradicted the president at a Monday press briefing, saying that the military would follow the laws of armed conflict and would not consider striking cultural sites. Whether that stance could survive a directly contradictory order from the president remains to be seen. I don't see any of the military not doing what they're told. They have since the inception. They have illegally gone to war quite a few times, probably every time. It is not a legal war if we are living by a de jure government, a false government. And we are living under a false government. Everything that they have done since the inception, this so-called inception of the United States of America, July 4, 1776, or that's the official date of the United States inception. But actually, we've never been under a legitimate government in the 244 years America has been so-called a country. We have not had a legitimate government ever. And I would venture to say no country has. They don't follow rules. They use semantics and they use word trickery. They use legalese to get their way. They have and they always will. More broadly, the thread illustrates the way Trump thinks about both the war with Iran and the war more broadly. The president seems to believe very fundamentally that concerns about human rights and international laws are pointless, counterstraits on American power. That winning conflict requires being harsher and more brutal than other opponents. Well, that has been the idyllic belief of all government and all 10-horn dictators all throughout history. Go to war, be more brutal and harsher than what your opponent is, and reap the rewards, and call it a truth. That's the way I see it. I'm going to take a couple-minute break here and continue on with this article and maybe a few more thoughts. I don't have much to go with this article here, but I need to get something to drink and need a little break quick here. So put something on and be right back in a few minutes. So thank you, everyone. Be right back. Okay, I'm back. Back for a few minutes anyways. Maybe finish out this article and go on to another one I found about the same thing with the attack on Iran's culture and the attack on this Islamic terrorist leader, or whatever he was, or whatever he is, whatever the case is. I do have to say, constantly over and over, there are two things I live by. I don't believe anything my government tells me, and I don't believe anything the media tells me, so let's start from there. But to finish on with this original article, why attacks on Iran's cultural sites would be war crimes. Trump's threat to attack cultural sites immediately bring to mind another recent high-profile threat to world cultural sites, ISIS's attack on such targets in Iraq and Syria. Imagine that. ISIS was funded by the CIA, British MI, military intelligence, and the Mossad. They're also trained by all three of them people. So whenever I see the word ISIS, ISIS, I just equate that with the military-industrial complex. Let's put it that way. ISIS's attacks on such targets in Iraq and Syria. During the Islamic State's 2014-2015 heyday, the group defaced and demolished historical sites across its territory in the two countries. The group attacked old churches, biblical tombs, entire ancient sites in an attempt to underscore the Islamic religious character of its would-be state, and covering up the looting of artifacts for profit. At the time, ISIS's action was widely seen as an unambiguous war crime. 1949 Geneva Convention prohibits any acts of hostility directly directed against the historic monuments, works of, well, you know, yada, 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 says Boomba. It doesn't really continue on with much more than Trump. It's continuing on with what Trump's puppet masters started. So there again, Trump is going to be the bad guy, the fall guy, the military-industrial complex of America and Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Great Britain are going to be heralded as the heroes, of course, in virtually all of the television media, and more than likely, most of the print media. I'm sure that there will be a few. Hang on a second, everyone. Okay, sorry, I'm back. Somebody was talking to me. And I lost my train of thought. I guess that happens when somebody breaks my thought. Well, anyways, I'm going to go on to the next one. This here is from the, I think it's from the, yeah, the Independent, the UK Independent. Independent.co.uk. This headline reads, Iran News Live, Trump backtracks on bombing cultural sites as U.S. claims it had exquisite intelligence before Soleimani drone strike. I was going to get another article out that had the word explained in it, like this other guy was a or woman. I didn't really find what the case was, but they had all the expertise and they were going to explain it. There actually is a video in this article that does say that the U.S.-Iran crisis explained, but I'm not going to play the video. It's very, very low, and it's actually in Persian, but it's got the English words in the video, but nobody would even be able to understand it if I played it, so I'm not going to. The U.S. has insisted it had exquisite intelligence before ordering the drone strike that killed Iranian military commander Qassem Soleimani in Baghdad. Oh, he was in Baghdad? A Iranian general was in Baghdad. Interesting. As if those two countries haven't been at war for 2,000 years. Iran and Iraq. American Defense Secretary Mark Esper told reporters General Soleimani was planning an attack within days rather than weeks and was a legitimate target. Meanwhile, U.S. President Donald Trump has backtracked on his threat to target 52 Iranian cultural sites and military attacks, saying he would obey international law. Isn't that just great of him? He would obey the laws. Or would he obey the administrative laws? Or the policies, or the whatever they want to call them. None of them are obeying laws, that's for sure. None of them do. Meanwhile, U.S. President Donald Trump has... Okay, I've already read that. Sorry. Soleimani's burial was delayed by several hours. At least 56 people were killed and 213 others injured after a stampede broke out during the funeral procession in his hometown of Kerman. Dominic Raab, the foreign secretary, flew to Brussels for emergency talks with the French and German foreign ministers about the situation in the Middle East, escalating conflict in Libya. Now they're going to go back into Libya. Well, that's great. As if they didn't kill enough people over there the first time. As if Barack Obama didn't kill enough people over there the first time. Donald Trump and his top advisors are facing mounting pressure to disclose more detail about the intelligence that led him to order the killing of top Iranian General Soleimani. The U.S. president said the move saved a lot of lives and that Soleimani was planning something. Yeah, exactly, Annie. Laws. Obeying laws. Laws by whom? Laws by the lawyers. That's who, Annie. The laws that the lawyers make up, those laws. The U.S. president said the move saved a lot of lives and that Soleimani was planning something. Now Trump and the military-industrial complex are mind readers. Interesting. Or maybe they have the precognizant abilities to read people's minds. I don't know. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Mark Esper told reporters the military commander's threat against Americans was days away, and the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, said he had been continuing efforts to build a network of activities that were going to lead potentially to the death of more Americans. Yeah. That always seems to be the argument. A brown-skinned man that wears a turban is going to blow something up, so we have to kill millions of them before that one single Muslim man with a turban blows something up. Totally justified. Absolutely. Totally justified. I can see that, yeah. Sorry for the sarcasm. However, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Bob Menendez, the top Democrat on the Senate Reform Relations Committee, have called on the president to declassify the written notification he sent to Congress after the fatal strike. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to work. They've wanted to see his tax returns for 3 years. So maybe he will maybe he will declassify those notifications the same time that he declassifies his own tax returns. Maybe that'll be the January 32nd. Maybe that's the day he's going to do that. I don't know. Jeremy Corbyn has accused Boris Johnson of providing cover to Donald Trump over the killing of Iranian General Soleimani because of his independent on a post-Brexit trade deal with the U.S. president. Not sure where that's trying to go, but I think that's pretty much the end of that. That the rest of it seems to be just a bunch of gibberish. I've about had it with that particular article there. I'm going to take another short little break and come back and see what else I can find. Be right back, everyone. Thank you. Okay, welcome back, everyone. I still have about 55 minutes left here. The last thing I'm going to say on the General Soleimani killing or bombing, whatever it is, as I said previously here 15, 20 minutes ago, there's two rules I do live by. I believe nothing the government tells me and nothing the media tells me. So I think there are deceptions all surrounding this story. There are ulterior meanings throughout this story, if it is even true. That remains to be seen, but none of the news reports are what they seem to be. They're not going to be the full truth. There are going to be some truths in them and some deceptions, some manipulations, and a lot of trickery. But I'm going to play a few things. I need to make a little dinner and get something to eat. I'm getting a little hungry and I'm getting a little lightheaded. So I'm going to finish out with a few things. I have a Max Egan 27-minute little piece here. He is going to, he actually made this today, which was probably yesterday for him, since he's in Australia. So this is called An Australian Holocaust. Not sure where it's going to go, but hope everyone enjoys. Be right back in a little bit here.